today on the Friday Fix.
Most countries now, certainly G20 countries, have or are discussing a net zero target in the round, but many don't have a specific target for the building sector. We've seen for electrical goods, standards get better over time. We think there should be the same for buildings, and they should be activated when you do something like sell, rent or renovate a house.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Friday Fix. I'm Ludo Bainham-Heard, a director here at Powers Court in our 360 team. I'm joined by Michael Lord, a principal at 3Kill, which is an award-winning sustainability consultancy based in Oxford. Michael joins us today to talk about our work together creating and launching the inaugural Global Retrofit Index for our client Kingspan, which is a major new study assessing the progress of G20 countries in reducing carbon emissions from buildings, a vital part of meeting net zero climate targets. So, Michael, for our listeners who may not be familiar with you and your work, can you tell us a little bit about 3Kill and your role and some of the work you've been involved with?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Ludo. As you say, I'm a principal consultant at 3Kill. 3Kill's a smallish but growing fast sustainability consultancy based in Oxford. There are about 60 of us now. We're focused on working for mainly private sector clients, but also NGOs, academia, public sector, on areas of sustainability like climate change, deforestation, and the circular economy. And my own background is about 16 years on climate change mitigation, that's emissions reduction, and also climate change risk assessment and adaptation.
Obviously, climate change is back on the agenda after COP27. Why is the built environment and buildings so important for tackling climate change and achieving net zero targets?
Well, if we think about where emissions come from in terms of end users, there are kind of four or five big sectors. There's agriculture, which is its own set of problems, electricity provision, and then the big energy users are transport, industry, and buildings. So buildings use about 30% of all energy in the world. Their operation causes about another 27% of global emissions. So they're one of the really big sectors. And if we added the emissions caused in making buildings, the concrete, steel, glass, etc., we'd add about another 10 or 11% to that 27%. So we can't achieve net zero and we can't tackle climate change without tackling these emissions from buildings.
Interesting. And clearly that's a huge part of the net zero agenda. How well understood do you think that is, especially when you compare it to some of the other sectors you mentioned?
I don't think people would realise what a big chunk buildings are. But of course, you know, we all use buildings, and I think people are increasingly aware of the things that they do at home using electricity or turning their heating on is connected to climate change. So in that sense, I think it's quite well understood, but the actual underlying figures probably not so much. I also think it's an interesting sector because many of the solutions are relatively straightforward. So for example, just insulating buildings is a big part of the solution. It's not exactly high tech compared to many of the things we'll need net zero for, but it does need a great deal of willingness to actually implement.
And so before we dive into the Global Retrofit Index, can you quickly explain to our listeners what retrofitting is, why it matters, and how can we relate it to our everyday lives?
Yeah, retrofitting is basically, or energy retrofitting, is any kind of renovation or work on a building which will enable it to use less energy or more renewable energy. So insulation is one of those, draft exclusion is another, but we were also using it to include things like getting rid of gas boilers for lower emission sources of heating, the insulation of rooftop solar, things like that. And there's also a concept quite popular in Europe of a deep energy retrofit or renovation, which is where you do all these things together. You visit a house once and you do the insulation, you change the heating, and you add solar panels where applicable.
So turning to the Global Retrofit Index, which is a project we've just completed for Kingspan, can you talk about the objective of a study and a bit about how we put together the methodology and some of the findings that stood out to you?
Yeah, so the objective, I mean, as we've said, it's one of the big areas that we've got to tackle as a planet. So we decided to look at G20 countries, and you know, it's 20 countries that cover something like 3/4 of world GDP. So the idea is if these G20 countries aren't doing this properly, then we're probably failing as a planet to reduce emissions from buildings. So we wanted to get that overall perspective on how these big economies are performing in this sector, but also to provide policymakers, companies, NGOs in those countries a snapshot of how well their country is doing compared to others. It's a really complex area, so there's always loads you can read about that's going on in any country, but this kind of reduces it down to, well, what does all that action actually add up to compared to climate targets and compared to other countries? So that was the objective. The method, I mean, we looked at some of the similar studies out there. The American Council on Energy Efficiency has a broad energy efficiency comparison between countries out every year. It's not just on buildings, but it includes it. So we looked at that. We looked at studies by the Building Performance Institute of Europe. But compared to those, we probably wanted to have a more complete snapshot, which looks at all aspects of energy retrofitting. But the difficulty of that is different countries have very different sources of information. And there were some bits of information, like how many retrofits is a country carrying out, that we just weren't able to use because the information is just not there. So what we did is we identified 11 criteria for each country, and we gave each country a score out of 10 for each of the 11 criteria. And we weighted those, so there was an overall score out of 100. And the criteria looked at three different time periods. Now, what are emissions from buildings like now? The recent past, are they getting better, i.e. reducing emissions? And the future, what's their policy like in this area?
Great. And so which countries stood out, and what did the findings tell us overall?
There were a few interesting findings. One was that no country did really well. No one's, you know, excelling at this, measured by how well are they reducing emissions. You know, if you look at, is anyone close to net zero building sector, or has anyone got the policies to get close to it in the near future, then the answer, unfortunately, is no. Another clear finding is on policies, countries in the EU are well ahead of others, or the countries we looked at. And there's a good reason for that. That's because they have been required by successive directives for 20 years and more to do things in this area. So there's the Energy Performance in Buildings Directive, I think first came out in 2002 and has been updated several times, provides quite a lot of the framework that you would want for countries, things like minimum energy standards for certain types of buildings, like rental properties, the requirement to have an energy performance certificate when you sell a house or when you rent a large property, things like that. That kind of framework is set up in the EU. So the EU stood out, if not on current performance, on policy and where it looks like things are going.
Interesting. So presumably, if no country is doing particularly well, there's a real urgency for governments and industry to do something about it. So what role do you see as studies like this as a communications tool to engage with those audiences and drive debate, discussion, and hopefully change in the near future?
I think, I mean, governments are getting this message from lots of angles. I think for those companies that did particularly badly, it's something that NGOs can pick up and show their governments and almost shame them as to, you know, where's your policy on this? We're doing really badly. We're just not spending enough. We're not introducing the right regulations. And yet they're doing it in Germany, France, and others. You know, most countries don't really like to lead on this. They're nervous about trying something really radical or innovative. But if you can point to other successful countries that are doing it, I think that has power. And the recommendations in the report are another piece of evidence that NGOs or opposition parties or the general public can point to governments to get them to do better. So yeah, we're really not doing well enough. The International Energy Agency recognizes that retrofits at the moment are less than 1% of buildings are retrofit per year. They say we need to get to something more like 3% by the end of this decade.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we found with the launch report is there's definitely an appetite among specialists, media and audiences to engage in this topic. However, I think there's still work to be done in terms of the mainstream attention. And I think that's something that we should definitely hopefully see more change in the years to come. And what should be the takeaway for governments and countries and companies going forward from the retrofit index?
We finished the report with what we think are four clear and key recommendations. So one is that countries should set a specific target for cutting buildings emissions, both a near-term target and a long-term one. Most countries now, certainly G20 countries, have or are discussing a net zero target in the round, but many don't have a specific target for the building sector. So that's one thing. Two, once they've set a target, to develop a clear strategy and roadmap. It is a very complex thing to do. It involves, you know, going into millions of people's homes and offices and changing things. So you need this mixture of regulation and incentives that needs to be set out in a strategy and a roadmap with milestones along the way. So that's number two. Third is just to invest more. So most of the technologies to achieve this, things that we've already mentioned, like insulation and heat pumps, they're already developed, they're already commercialized, you can buy them now, but they do often come up with a lot of upfront costs, which is one of the reasons people struggle with that. They pay back over time, but not quickly enough. So governments can help with that and invest more. We found quite a low level of investment overall per when you break it down per capita. And the fourth thing is to use regulation intelligently to stimulate the market. So that's in things like minimum energy performance standards. In a similar way, as we've seen for electrical goods, those standards get better over time. We think there should be the same for buildings, and they should be activated when you do something like sell, rent, or renovate a house. And also really tackling fossil fuel-based heating systems, so basic gas boilers, and having an end date put in law for when they're no longer going to be sold and they're going to be replaced by electrical heat pumps and other things. So those are our four recommendations for governments.
Brilliant. And I think what this tells us is that studies like this are really important for creating, firstly, a body of evidence to present to government, industry, and other stakeholders, and also to bring the story to life. I think that's something that's been needed in this sector for some time, especially with cost of living crisis, energy is forefront. This will only get more attention. So I think actually the more studies like this can be brought to audiences and government, the better, really. So it's been a fantastic project to work on, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks, Ludo.